League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You want to know why I keep playing that?
Yeah.
Listen to it, and what's the first thing you think of when you hear it?
Hookah. Stop playing that.
Hookah. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Here on the bench, John, Lance, Dell, and friends. 713-780-3776. If you want to come in, 713-780-3776. Rockets did not play. No national championship
Bulls
game.
Tonight.
You had the Houston Cougars lost yesterday. Unfortunately, they were upset by Iowa State. They were beaten by Iowa State. It's tough. Big 12 is going to be tough. They sputtered down the stretch, which was an issue. You had in the world of sports, Bill Belichick is still up in the air, but Mike Vrabel is not. Mike Vrabel was fired in kind of a surprising move by the Tennessee Titans coming off that big win against Jacksonville that knocked them out of the playoffs and earned the Texans the division championship. Vrabel immediately is going to be, I would think, the first target for the New England Patriots. To me, this is one of the best ways to have a relatively younger coach. I think he's still in his, is he in his early 40s or late, or is he 38? I think he's 38 right now.
Who?
No, Vrabel's much older than that. Yeah, he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
But you still have a young coach. 40s is not old.
He's mid-40s or close to 50.
No, I don't think he's close to 50.
Anyway.
Well, he might be, actually.
Yeah,
anyway, he's not considered an old coach at all. He's a former Patriot. Mike Vrabel to the Patriots.
It immediately is what everybody said. He's taking Belichick's place.
Vrabel to the Patriots would make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Right. He's 48 years old.
Yeah.
So he would make a ton of sense in New England, but Bill Belichick is still there, so we will see. No other firings of note that I can think of.
No. There's six jobs open now, and maybe seven with Belichick. We'll see. And we'll see if Belichick ends up anywhere.
Six jobs. So, Raiders, Titans, Chargers, Washington, Carolina, and Falcons. Yeah, okay.
No. So,
and our guy, Bobby Slowick, has interviewed or is requested maybe or has interviewed with Carolina. I think that's a bad spot.
Requested him. So did Washington.
And not great spots. The two best spots to me would be Atlanta. And now they don't have a quarterback either, but you can draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Would be Atlanta.
Well,
and
can you? Did you see Todd McShay's list, his first mock? Todd McShay.
Who's he with now?
I don't know who he's with, but they put out somebody retweeted his, I saw it yesterday, and his first three picks were Bears, taken Caleb.
Wait a minute. Yes. No, that's.
Bears take Caleb. Two is, who's it? Who's two? Anyway, two taking Drake May and the Patriots. If you're the Patriots, do you take Jaden Daniels or do you take Marvin Harrison? He's got Jaden Daniels going. How about three quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3?
Don't love it at all. I don't know about Jaden Daniels, man. That is another little guy. He's fast, can run.
Not little. He's skinny.
I'll be honest. Well, he's bone thin. I'll be honest with you. Watching some of the Malik Nabers tape, there's a lot of throws that were off that were not accurate from Jalen. I got to watch him this week to see. I have to write him up this week. I have to write all the quarterbacks up. So I'm going to be interested to see what I see. I don't know. I want to see Todd McShay. Maybe he's on the ringer actually right now, I think is where he is. I try to get him on the show if you want, and we can talk about some of this stuff with Todd, but it's, every year people want to just stack quarterbacks, and now they did go 1-2 last year.
Yep.
Quarterback went 1-2.
The Patriots need a quarterback.
And it will go 1-2 this year.
The Patriots need a quarterback.
Are Patriots 2 or 3? Patriots are 3, right? Yeah, Washington needs a quarterback at 2. Washington is a wild card. Washington could trade back and target, somebody ahead of a Patriot team that needs quarterback. Washington is one that they could say, look, let's kick the can down the road and let's trade this pick out, or let's trade it and maybe look at, maybe they like J.J. McCarthy. I just can't imagine. I don't see a first-round quarterback. I haven't studied them closely, but man.
Here's the question. Do the Patriots need a quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. Here's Trevor Lawrence's stats. Here's Mac Jones' stats. Trevor Lawrence is 20-30 as a starter. Mac Jones is 18-24, which is a better winning percentage. Passer rating, Trevor Lawrence, 85.0. Mac Jones, 85.8. Pass TDs to interceptions, 56-39, 46-36. Trevor's better. Completion percentage, Mac Jones is better, 66-63. Pass yardage per game, Trevor Lawrence is only 235. Mac Jones is 212. Yards per attempt, Mac Jones is better at 6.8 to 6.7.
6.8 is atrocious.
And 6.7.
So is the point you're making but here's my question.
Okay, so Trevor Lawrence is a generational player.
No, he's not. What you're doing is, this is a fallacy. I need to call Mati and see which fallacy this is. You're making comparative stats. So your argument right now
data dredging.
Well, no, your argument right now has to be, it is data dredging, because let's go through Mac Jones's last 2 years, since you're going to compare the two. Let's look at them over the last 2 years and see how both teams are over the last 2 years. You've got 24 touchdowns to 23 interceptions for Mac Jones. So now all of a sudden, not so good. 6.45 yards per attempt and a quarterback ranking of 81.5%. It goes way down. Mac Jones has gotten progressively worse with every year.
Let's take a look at the last 6 games of Trevor Lawrence.
No, let's look at the – no, that's data dredging. Let's look at the last 2 years of Trevor Lawrence versus the last 2. But anyway, argument right now, are you making the argument is they need to stick with Mac Jones?
No, I'm making the argument, I guess, that Trevor Lawrence isn't any good.
But that wasn't what we're talking about.
But yet we won't admit that
in there, do the Patriots need a quarterback, and now you're arguing that Trevor Lawrence, they need to draft a quarterback in Jacksonville. That's what it sounds like to me.
No.
Because you can't be arguing for Mac Jones. You can't.
No, I'm not. It was obviously tongue-in-cheek. But here's the deal is, those are their stats. I know it's trending poorly, but it's trending poorly for Trevor Lawrence as well.
Okay, I don't care about Trevor Lawrence. We're stuck on New England. And New England needs a quarterback in the worst way.
Yeah, they do. My question was, I wouldn't take Marvin Harrison third. I would take Jaden Daniels third.
You got to believe in a quarterback. You got to believe in a quarterback. Is there another guy that's available through free agency or trade? You make a move at Kirk Cousins, for example? I would. You got to be a ready-made.
Which team? For who? For what?
You have to be a ready-made indoor team to me. Mm-mm. I wouldn't take a chance with that. Would you take a chance with Josh? Now, what I would do is I'd make a call about Justin Fields.
Well, you're settling. Well, Justin Fields has not been a good quarterback in the NFL.
A big part of what Jaden does is run.
He has not been. He's been a top 20 at best quarterback.
I don't care for him, but I don't care what the Patriots do. But Jaden Daniels,
I would rather
a big part of what Jaden Daniels does, he has two first round wide receivers. A big part of what he does is run the football. Well, that's no different than Justin. I think he's a better passer than Justin is, but Justin also came out of college with good passing numbers.
And he came out of college with the best receivers at Ohio State.
Right, but Jaden has got Malik Nabers and Brian, what's his name? They're going
Thomas.
So if he has to run the ball to be successful, here's your question. Does he need to run the ball to be his best version? Yes, I would say he does.
Yeah.
He's not built like a guy who needs to run a whole lot.
No, but, well, listen. Jalen Hurts was a lot better when Jalen Hurts was running the ball a lot.
Jaden Daniels is skinnier than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Who has had injuries.
He's real thin. He's bigger, though. It's not like, you know. And, oh, by the way, I think in the NFL, they'll probably put some weight on. All right, we got to break it here. 814 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Do you want to get in? Well, Keith probably wants to get Carson Wentz there.
No. We're not putting Carson Wentz in New England. We're not doing that to Coach Vrabel.
Where are we going to get hair? That's my question to you. And I'll tell you where you're going to get hair. I'm going to tell you where you're going to get hair at a better price. Now, Doc said, he told me, he's like, you know, $4 a neograft is like, that's a good deal. It's actually, that's market rate. But you know what? I don't care about the money. How's this? I'm going to give it for $3.50. But it's ending, people. That could be up to $1,000 off for you on your neografting. That's a substantial saving, but it's going away. It is, I promise you, he gave me a date, but I'm not going to give it to you. I'm just telling you that it's going away. And so you need to go now to 975hair.com. Now, I'm going to go next week, Monday, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go get the PRP. And it's got other stuff in there that's just awesome. If you have a wife and she's looking for any kind of plastic surgery, go see Doc Linville. But if you need hair right now, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 818 ESPN 975 and 925. Let's get Keith in here before we go into this Nick Caserio stuff. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. Love the show. No Carson Wentz updates today. Hear me out on this scenario and let me know if you could see this happening in New England. I say Belichick stays one more year. You give him a farewell tour like you did, you know, Kobe and some of these legends. You give him a farewell tour. You bring in Jimmy G, who the Raiders will cut. You draft Marvin Harrison at 3, and you bring in Vrabel to run the defense, McDaniels to run the offense. Whoever performs better gets the gig as his head coach of the Patriots in 2025. What do you think?
I've thought about Vrabel going and being the coordinator, and I don't think that's crazy if it's known that he's the head coach in waiting. I mean, he's a Patriot lifer. I don't think that's crazy. I don't know. Would any of the other jobs want Vrabel as their head coach? I mean, can he move into Atlanta right away? Are they looking for a Vrabel after Arthur Smith? I don't know. I think they would want somebody innovative and one of these young, cool head coaches.
Yeah.
Get something out of Bijan, get something out of Pitts.
I mean, I think that might be that sounds the best. I'm trying to find, they had, Jimmy Shapiro had coaching lines, the latest coaching lines. And let me see if this is the one where he has it right here. There were some interesting names tied in some interesting locations. It's just basic odds, just somebody else guessing is all it is. But I think that, you know, there's still, like, the favorites in New England, for example, are it goes Vrabel was one. I can't remember who two was because I was too shocked to see number three, Bill O'Brien. I'm like, Bill O'Brien?
Wow.
There's no chance that Bill O'Brien – there's already talk that, Bill O'Brien won't stay in Houston, won't stay in New England anyway, no matter what happens. So that was kind of – that was surprising to me. Bill O'Brien is running out of – he's running out of places. He's wearing his welcome out. Like, the Nick Saban rehab stuff didn't work for him. Jalen Milroe had his best year when – well, he wasn't a full-time guy last year anyway. It was Bryce Young. But this year, Jalen Milroe was good without Bill O'Brien, said something negative about Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's got negative stuff with comments that he made about DeAndre Hopkins. Bill O'Brien – It came out what he told Case Keenum, where you know, Case was basically told, "Yeah, you're not an NFL quarterback." The way the whole thing, I don't know that Bill O'Brien has a lot of juice left other than going back to college.
No, Bill O'Brien's perfect. He's a mass hole. He is a mass hole. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah, but that's not. He's not at some point. You have to be a hot coaching prospect, and he's the opposite.
Yeah.
He's a cold.
No. Bill O'Brien's running my organization. Oh my gosh, that's something that we don't. Bill O'Brien, you know, tried to go in there and change the whole coaching staff, and Bill Belichick said no.
Yeah.
He wanted
to change it. Yeah, because Bill O'Brien can't just let you do what you want to do.
No, Bill O'Brien's going to take rest control.
So here are the three hot names. The hot names are Ben Johnson, offense coordinator for Detroit, extremely creative guy, Bobby Slowick, play caller for the Houston Texans, and Mike McDonald, who is the defense coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, formerly of the Michigan Wolverines. He was at Michigan, right? Mike Mack was at Michigan, yeah, after Don Brown. It was Mike Mack, and then he went to the Ravens. And you see how well the Ravens are playing. Those are the three hot names.
I see how well Michigan's playing since he's been gone, too.
Those are the three hot names right now. The names that, you know, you'll hear Eric Bieniemy, you will hear Gerard Mayo is actually the favorite in New England. Gerard Mayo is the favorite, followed by Mike Vrabel, then followed by Bill O'Brien. But you'll hear Gerard Mayo's name, but everyone's going to assume he's coach in waiting. You're going to hear Eric Bieniemy's name. Jim Harbaugh, his name is going to be prominent in the NFL circles. And
you want to win, get Jim Harbaugh.
And I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that I'm trying to think if there's
How about
else
Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers? If I'm them, forget Belichick. No. Go get
Are
Jim
you worried
Harbaugh.
About are you worried about Harbaugh's kind of weirdness?
I'm worried about Jim Harbaugh not winning because that doesn't happen ever.
Okay, but the weirdness, he's been in Michigan for a while, and I would say the league and the players have changed drastically over the last 10 years. Mm. I would say a lot of the players are a lot different. Do y'all think, and maybe I'm probably overshooting because he's a nice guy. He's not a yeller or screamer. Like, he's a pretty even-keel guy. Do you think his personality, that weird stuff, is going to play in all the NFL
Mike
locker
McDaniel
room still?
Can be a head coach.
Mike is hip and cool. Everyone likes him. That's different. Mike.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. What we saw from the Michigan players, they love him too. They love Harbaugh.
They do.
They love Harbaugh.
They do like him. But college
There's no reason to think that.
College is different than pros. You got 31-year-olds and 28-year-olds who are making way more than you with a kid. And
you got a lot of kids that are making more than you at the college level.
Not in Michigan. And Harbaugh makes a lot of money.
Can we talk about some real stuff? Stop with this. Stop.
Go ahead.
Can we talk about some real stuff, a real organization? Eric Spoelstra just got himself a giant deal, like 8 years, $120 million. And that's fine. Really great coach. Going to be a Hall of Famer. Now, the question I have, and someone posted it on Twitter, it's a remarkable question.
$120 million.
Yeah.
Did the Heat wait until Eric Spoelstra finalized his divorce to announce this deal?
The Heat didn't wait. Eric Spoelstra
waited.
Well,
maybe they came together and decided, let's wait. Yeah. Because he got his divorce was
finalized. We don't have to do this yet.
His divorce was finalized late November. And then in January, they announced this deal where he gets all this money. Did they
dudes
come together?
Done it the day after.
Just dudes taking W's.
Well, you don't do it the day after.
No, don't do it the day after.
Because then it's obvious.
You're going to end up in court.
It's pretty obvious now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a month and a half later.
I'll bet you he accounted for that. Because here's the thing, if your wife, the lawyer for your wife is going to say, we need phone documents, we need text messages.
Well, I'm sure they've been discussing this deal forever. I mean, hey, deals take time.
That's what you do. The question is, how much did Eric kick over there to get the deal done?
What do you mean kick over?
In the settlement, maybe he gave her, you know, maybe he told her he will do. He doesn't know what the deal is, the length of time or whatever. They're working on it. You know, $20 million. Maybe he said, I'm going to, in the settlement, I don't have it yet, but I'll do, you're going to get $20 million when we're done. Well, it could have been something like that. Did they wait? Absolutely.
Yeah. Why would you do it now? No. You don't want that part of the settlement.
Because the season's not over. We're still in the middle of the season.
Well, that's what a real organization does. You help your boy out.
When was it announced?
It was announced yesterday.
When did he get divorced?
He finalized his divorce November 29th. It was announced.
It sounds like the timeline for getting a deal done, though. So it sounds reasonable, but clearly.
They were in talks, had some stuff to iron out. The season's in place, so they're not focused on it every day. And you can
literally say, hey, I didn't know where I was going to be. Is he expiring this year?
This was his final year of his deal.
Yeah, you can literally say, I don't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he came, hey, I still want to be here. I know I've been here forever, but I had some real thoughts about going to, you know, coach someplace else. But the deal came along and they locked me in. But I had some real thoughts of leaving up until December 28th. And then the deal kind of escalated. Wheels got kicked into motion over the holidays, and now I'm here forever.
My client can't give you a financial figure because he doesn't even know if he's going to have a job. The fickle nature of the NBA, we don't know where he's going to be. If they perform poorly, and who's to say that Eric might not want to go in a different direction or that he could get fired? You never know. Ime Udoka was one of the top coaches in the league and was out.
I don't think you want to bring in infidelity.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you probably don't want to. Well, if you're getting divorced anyway, you could say, you just never know what's going to happen. So we can't begin to.
You never
to,
know who I'm gonna exploit in the organization, or
well, you can't believe. We can't know. Begin to come up with future numbers and financial.
You never know who I'm gonna diddle.
I'm just telling. Whoa!
I don't know if we're gonna use that word.
That's not the word you want to use.
I don't know what word it is.
That's not the word at all.
You never know who I'm gonna start an inappropriate relationship with.
That's
could be the.
I'm convinced John's last. This is it for John.
You think so?
Yes. 24 is done.
You think he's done?
Yes, because he's doing some things right now already in January that are terrifying.
You think health reasons or he's just on his way out?
No, this is
already
like
guaranteed.
He's driving around. He's walking around slapping five with people around the stadium after the last game. He's sitting here saying diddle.
Diddle does. I mean, it has.
We know what
the
it
note
means.
That it's with a younger person, but that doesn't mean it
well,
is.
Well, for the rest of us, it
doesn't mean it does.
For the rest of us, other than you,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that.
No one
based on what
you can use the word diddle, and it doesn't have to
hey,
do
diddle.
With a little kid.
Hey, diddle, diddle.
We don't.
The cat and the fiddle.
Well, yeah. I don't. Diddle's not the word.
Yeah, but no one. But trust me, the people close to Ime would appreciate you not using that terminology when discussing what happened in Boston.
I said,
we talked about Tolman earlier.
We were referencing
Ime
too.
Tolman would definitely not want you saying diddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that about Ime. Okay.
Well,
I didn't. See, there you go, Jimmy Kimmel.
Now that's
you're misinterpreting what I said.
No,
Jimmy Kimmel.
Because seconds before we were talking about Ime. Well, fine. Eric Spoelstra wouldn't want you to use that terminology.
Well. I said he's not. Okay.
I just think it's a credit to organizations. Just wait. Hey, man, we're going to get you all this money, and we're going to try to make sure it has nothing to do with your now defunct relationship.
So you're giving Miami credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. This is bigger than their championships.
This isn't Miami. That's Miami's more than happy to hold
you know,
off
she's
on
still
it.
Getting
this is
that,
he culture.
She's still getting that
he's,
money.
Yeah. She's getting money because she was with them through yeah. the previous contract. This is what Heat culture should
this
be.
This is new money.
You know, they have, like, for the Heat culture uniforms, they have on the floor, they write hardest working, all the stuff that they like to play into. They should throw this on the floor. We take care of our boys. They should put that on
that's
the floor, too.
They did.
Bros before ex-wives?
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Time to talk about Aqueduct Pump. We're going to see Billy today, as a matter of fact. We're going to hang out with
Ain't
Billy
no chilling.
No. Ain't. No. And we're going to see Billy, and Billy ain't chilling. I'm going to tell you this. Billy's still going to be hard at work, although he's going to be hanging with us today And I can't wait to see Billy. Billy is an awesome person. Billy has an awesome business plan. And he put this thing together and, you know, started from – and Billy has done it all, and Billy has been fantastic at what he does. And it starts at the top with the attitude of we're going to give a fair deal. We're not going to charge you just to come out. We're going to make sure that we do the best work that we possibly can at the best price that we possibly can. This is what they do every single time. There's a common thought about plumbers that you really can't trust them. You can trust these guys.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. And listen, I have teenage boys. You know how long the showers are going to be. If I didn't have unlimited hot water with a hot water with a tankless hot water heater, it'd be a disaster in my house. So if you're looking into tankless hot water heaters, they can do that for you as well. Cleaning one, discovering whether or not you have a leak underneath your slab, or just fixing a leaky faucet. All of these things they can do. Big, small, it doesn't matter. Trustworthy with great prices. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All your base are belong to us.
All your base are belong to us.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Versi.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. So Nick Caserio yesterday, he didn't call Jason LaConfora a jackass. He actually said, jackass reports. Okay. So he didn't actually call Jason LaConfora jackass. Yeah. He used the word jackass. He did use the word jackass. He is, and I don't even think it's close. Nick Caserio should be, and if he's not, it's a travesty if he's not executive of the year. What this rookie class has done has been amazing. What this rookie class has done has been fantastic. From Tank Dell was one of the huge surprises in the league this year. C.J. Stroud was a huge surprise and was the best rookie. He and arguably Puka. The best rookies this year. Will Anderson should be. He might not be, but should be the defensive rookie of the
year. So, is Les Snead still with the Rams?
Les Snead is still with the Rams.
So, he drafted Nacua and the defensive tackle who has...
Kobe Turner.
Yeah.
I think that's
two
the battle.
Two guys who have a chance to win rookies of the year.
I think if we're saying
and
one
they,
and two...
They were a surprise team as well.
If you're saying one and two, it'll be those two guys.
Yeah, probably those two.
They should have kept some picks. Yeah. No, I mean, they had the FTP, I guess, for his way just to be able to. But look what happened. So they went FTP, bleeped those picks. They won a Super Bowl. That's the goal. Then went into a little bit of a funk, and now
they're good, though.
They're okay.
They're a good football
team. They're okay.
They're a good football team.
They got Matt Stafford back.
Yep.
That helps.
And yeah.
Cooper Kupp was not even the leading receiver.
No.
It was Nacua. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. On a team with Cooper Kupp that he was able
he
to have all those
Cam
catches
Akers.
And yards. Williams was a huge surprise this year.
You know, executive of the year?
Yeah.
Are we sure it's Nick?
Yeah.
Well, Kyron was 2 years ago. But you have Cooper, you have Puka Nacua, and, you know, Nick drafted 2 and 3. He got Nacua and Kobe Turner. Outside of, I'm not sure that either one of those was drafted inside the first three rounds.
No, I think Nacua was fourth.
Right? Nacua was fourth. I think Kobe Turner might have been third. But how about that for a job?
Pretty good.
But
the Texans are such a story. I know the Rams come bounce back is a good story. I think the Texans are front and center.
Well,
plus
the Texans are
all
the
other additions that Nick had.
Right, right. I just don't know all the Rams additions. But
Byron
I do know
Young.
This. Puka Nacua.
Byron Young had 8 sacks. He's a rookie, too. He drafted Byron Young.
Look at that draft class.
It was
Kobe Turner, Byron Young, Puka.
Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud.
And Tank.
Yeah.
And Patterson.
The difference.
Who ended up starting for you.
Yeah, I can't give you credit for Patterson. He played like 3 games.
No, he played more than that.
No, he didn't play that many more. He got hurt pretty early.
Byron Young and Kobe were both third-rounders.
Dude, that's...
And, he did draft Stetson Bennett. That was nice. And Puka Nacua
was a fifth rounder.
Puka Nacua was
Puka Nacua is a fifth-round Pro Bowler. Kobe Turner is going to have more sacks than Will. Is going to have more sacks than Will Anderson. Like, you can make an argument. Les Snead's going to get some love too. It's going to be an interesting, because all their guys played major, major roles. Kobe Turner, Puka Nacua, and so did the Texans. So this is going to be, but the Texans did it with much higher draft picks. Tank Dell would have been drafted, I think, ahead of any of their third-round picks, potentially. The Texans' first three picks may have been before. Was Tank the... No. Juice Scruggs was drafted in the second.
Well, here's CJ.
I mean, Juice is a starter now, but he missed a good chunk of the year.
Here's CJ talking about this rookie class for the Texans.
Well, we just talked about
this is where we wanted to be. Like, when we were getting drafted, we talked about it. We said something like, when we all got drafted, we get a group chat together. It was just us, the rookies. And we were like, man, we're going to be the foundation to change this thing around and hold them low. Like, that was kind of what came to be true. And, of course, it's not just us. There's plenty of vets and guys who've been here, a lot of different people who've held people accountable and done their job at a high level. But I definitely think, like, the group of guys we brought in, there's been times where the rookies have led, you know, and I think everybody can agree with that. So it's been cool just to see, like, some of the things we talked about come to fruition.
It is cool to see. And he reflected on, you know, since being drafted by the Texans and what they accomplished. Here's CJ.
Yeah, I really haven't put no thought to it. I've kind of just gone week to week, so I don't think I really can, to be honest. I mean, it's been cool. It's been a long, long year for me. Been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of growing, a lot of learning, not only as a football player, but as a man and as a person. And, I mean, I'm truly just grateful and blessed to be in the position I am. But I'll probably start reminiscing whenever February comes around or whenever our season ends, you know. So we'll see. I mean, I'm blessed, though, and I'm really appreciative of everything that's happened to me this year.
Okay, I want to play a little game
with
you.
He should be, because he's going to be a really, really rich young man.
Yeah, and he talked about his growth as a man. And that's something that really I harp on, because, as I've mentioned before, you know, I had heard some stuff about, you know, there was issues at more than one camp, not just the Manning camp, which was accurate. Got it from somebody standing right there next to Archie when it all went down, where he just said he wasn't coming, and then also an Adidas camp. And so I thought, man, this guy is just not, you know, he's a Mogetta client. We know what happened with, you know, Deshaun. I'm really worried. And you know what? All my worries couldn't be more resolved.
His hair you were worried about.
Couldn't be more resolved.
Have you apologized?
That was really more just a joke, but the other stuff is, like, real. Mm. This other stuff was real. Like
the S2?
Yeah, well, the S2 is a cognitive processing thing. So, yeah, it's a concern. It was a concern for other teams. And now that the season's over, he's super great leadership, super mature, seems to have his head on straight, like – And I thought all these things about Deshaun Watson when he came out, too. But I don't know. Number one, C.J. Stroud is a much better passer than Deshaun Watson was coming out. But secondly, he just seems like a natural-born leader.
Yeah.
Man, I have no – now, I want you to answer this. You were on the sidelines for this team. Here's the 2006 Houston Texans draft. It's considered the greatest draft in Texans history. Mario Williams, Pro Bowler with the team. Mario had a good NFL career. He was good with the Texans. Rough the first year, but overall he was good. They didn't want to pay him the big contract. D'Amico Ryans, he was rookie of the year his first year. Charles Spencer would have been a great tackle, but got hurt early on. Eric Winston.
Ron Dane ruined his career.
Yeah, Ron Dane did. Eric Winston, longtime Houston Texan, part of a big part of that offensive line.
Owen Daniels
was a fourth-round pick. And then you have Wally Lundy and David Anderson. But the big ones are Owen Daniels, Eric Winston, D'Amico Ryans, and Mario Williams. This big four here, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Juice Scruggs, and Tank Dell. Of course, you have Dylan Horton. We don't know. He's obviously out. Henry Tuo, I think he's going to be a backup. Jarrett Patterson has a chance to become a starter. I think Xavier Hutchinson's just a guy. But let's just go at the top four. Stroud, Anderson, Scruggs, and Tank Dell. Now, you had two for – now, in that 2006 draft, only one of those guys, you had a first – a second, a third, and a third. I'm sorry, a first, a second, a third, and a fourth. This one you have a first, a second, and a third. Who do you like better if you're projecting? Stroud, Anderson, Scruggs, Dell?
This one.
I would too. Now, the assumption is going to be Will Anderson stays longer than Mario. The assumption is going to be, and well, also you're dealing
you
with.
You win that one if he's got a second contract here.
Well, number one, having a quarterback. If you get your quarterback of the future, there's nothing else that trumps that.
How many sacks did Mario get his rookie year?
It was he had low sack total his rookie year. First year was a
but they moved him all over. Remember, they put him inside and outside,
and they even admitted that they screwed up by doing that to him, not letting him just play one position static. But Mario was a good run defender and ended up making a Pro Bowl or two with the Houston Texans. So Mario ended up being a good pick. He ended up being the right pick over Vince and Reggie.
He had 4.5 sacks.
His rookie year.
But he had 14 his second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
There wasn't as much passing back then. That's pretty good.
2007. So he's going to have to pick it up. Will Anderson going to have to pick it up to catch 18.5 sacks first 2 years?
Yeah, but I mean. This isn't about a stat chase. It's about a win chase.
Yeah, right.
And I think Will Anderson will have a bigger impact than Mario Williams. Will Anderson is a dog, and he is a leader. Will Anderson is a culture changer. Mario was never those things. Remember Mario was. Remember he got in trouble for racing motorcycles or cars or whatever?
No, remember that girl that was screaming in his car?
Yeah. I think Mario had stuff that made the team nervous, kind of like Jadeveon Clowney, where he would show up at... Jadeveon Clowney, I'll never forget. He didn't play. He didn't go to a preseason game. And he said he was hurt, so he didn't go to the San Francisco 49er game. And, like, I think it was Uncle Freddie took a picture of him shooting dice in Louisiana. at Lake Charles. He was at the Nugget throwing dice. I just don't feel like you should be. Yeah, I mean, you can throw dice. I just don't feel like.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's the best look when you're not traveling with the team on a preseason game.
Well, that's
because you're hurt.
That's what we're going to be doing the week before the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, we're going to be live from the Golden Nugget. That'll be fun. The 4th and 5th, I believe. Or no, yeah, the 5th and 6th. We're going to be live at the Nugget. And
you're going to be able to gamble and drink there.
And in the Super Bowl, how about this, my boy? Justin over at Warehouse Live, he's going to throw a Super Bowl party, and we're going to be giving away all kinds of tables for people to come.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we're going to have – and it happens to be my birthday as well. So we're going to have a birthday bash. Yeah, we're going to have a birthday bash and watch the Super Bowl. So if you've got – I don't know if you don't have any plans right now, we're going to have all kinds of – there's going to be food and drinks and all kinds of great stuff, and it's going to be a Warehouse Live Midtown.
We're celebrating you.
We're celebrating. Well, Justin was like, hey, it's your birthday too. Let's go.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate for everyone, I guess, besides you. But
you're going to be there.
Nah, unlikely.
Yeah. No. We're watching. He's going to have a band, a 70s and 80s. Now, it's your favorite, a 70s and 80s cover band.
John.
That's going to be there from 3 to 5. And then
it's a return of the Mac.
How often when you go, no, when you're disputing something I say, does it actually work out that it's going to go in your favor?
Every time.
Okay, sure. But I do want to let people know before we go to break that the programming here won't just be about John. We're going to be covering the Texans game in a way that's not unique to what we've done in the past.
The Super Bowl Texans game?
No, their playoff game on Saturday.
Oh.
An unofficial post-game show will be here on ESPN 975. The Texans are back in the playoffs, and this Saturday we will have the ESPN Texans. I don't think we can call it a post-game show. I'm going to edit this liner. The ESPN 975 Texans unofficial post-game show after the Texans playoff game. No matter how much time is left in the game, we will get
the use the Texans' name on it.
So, Houston football unofficial postgame show. Houston pro sports team unofficial postgame show.
Right. Okay. That's exactly right.
Houston, well, you can call it the big game.
Houston football pro sports franchises unofficial postgame show
on a Saturday afternoon.
Right here on ESPN 975.
On a Saturday afternoon around 6:30.
No matter, I think we can give them a time. No matter how much time is left in the game, the show will get started at 6:30. Win or lose, tune into ESPN 975 and twitch.tv / ESPN 975 for our instant reaction to a Houston sports team's tournament game against a team from Cleveland.
Yeah.
On
some team
in sports.
This Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah. This Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We can also, when we go, maybe we need to get Proximo Spirits out at Warehouse Live.
Let's do it. I'll call Mallory. I'll get the activation going out there, and we'll get the my friends over from Maestro Dobel. Proximo Spirits is the holding company. They got a lot of different. They've got Bushnell also, which you've heard here on the station. But Maestro Dobel is who I speak for because I love a unique spirit. And one of the things that has been fun in telling people about Maestro Dobel is a lot of people had never heard of it. It's big in Mexico. It's big in Puerto Vallarta. There's a lot of different destination locations that it has been big, and it's really taken off in the country here because it's 11 generations of tequila makers there in Tequila, Mexico. Yes, it's a real place making this tequila, but there's so many different types. It's not just one or two or three. It's like six. There's the Añejo. There's the Reposado. There's the Silver. There's Smoked Silver. There's Cristalino, which is a blend of three different tequilas. They're the ones who invented that category. And Maestro Dobel says, look, if you haven't tried the Cristalino and you've never sipped it, then you are going to become a tequila sipper because it is that good. And, of course, margaritas, they go great with that. But really, Maestro Dobel needs to be up on your shelf. If you haven't tried a bottle, I invite you to try a bottle of Maestro Dobel. You'll see that it's got a very reasonable price point, especially for the high quality. And I believe that it is going to be a staple amongst your tequilas. It's Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, if they don't carry it, ask for it by name, Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
What if you mix mayonnaise right in the can with the tuna fish? Hold it! Take live tuna fish and feed them mayonnaise.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you didn't see the Cougs yesterday, man, that was just, gosh, dog. Here's the difference between being in the American and being in the Big 12. You got an Iowa State that's a pretty good basketball team. I think they were 11-3 coming in, unranked. And they beat the Cougs. But if I'm not mistaken, did Purdue lose as well? Purdue lost too. So you had a two against an unranked team as well. Apparently, this is the eighth time that it has happened in recent memory that the 1 and 2 on the same day lose to unranked teams.
I don't know a lot about Nebraska basketball, but the guy they are featuring as the catalyst for Nebraska's win, I was like, that guy? That guy?
That guy's the catalyst?
He's got, look, basketball, hoopers come in all shapes and sizes, John.
Right.
But if you go to ESPN's front page right now, unless they've updated it, you know, it's a big story, 1 and 2 losing. Okay, they've got it. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see number 30 for Nebraska, and you're like, huh.
Is he the Asian?
It's not because he's Asian. It's because of the headband.
He's the got headband,
no,
I see
he's
him.
He's got
yeah.
no swag.
He's right there, yeah. Wow. But you rarely see, I mean, Lance was talking about this before the show. I don't remember many Asian college basketball players, period.
There are few and far between.
Yeah.
There are particularly ones that are making an impact. I'm going to see what type of game he had, but I was just caught by the bandana. I don't see an arm sleeve or nothing. He just looks like he got out of the rec league. Out there beating up on Purdue.
He does. He's got the headband like he is in a rec league.
Yeah.
If only he had the glasses.
Yeah, or those giant knee pads that some of those guys wear. But shout out to Nebraska getting a big win. Yeah.
And Iowa State, 14-0 to start the game. 14-0. I mean, first of all, that they couldn't – Iowa State – offensively did a lot of everything they wanted. They had some easy baskets against a Cougs team that just, it was so un-Coug like. But then it got back to Cougar basketball where they couldn't shoot. I mean, this team has been so much better than this. And you think, well, with Cryer, with Sharp, with Shed, Dunn, that this is going to be, maybe it's going to be a little bit different. And they reverted back to not being able to
shoot.
Nothing's
different. It's always the same. Cougs. There's a consistency that I love, but baked into that is the concern that clanks. Well, at some point, you'll just have to play. They'll have to play lockdown defense with great rebounding because you just know they're going to go through cold stretches.
And then at the end, Shed takes the three that wasn't even – it wasn't even close. It was 50 – no, Shed took the – oh, it was LJ that took the three – that when it was 55-53, and then they made a couple of free throws, and Shed took that last one. Is LJ Cryer their go-to guy, or Sharp their go-to? Sharp was their go-to guy against A&M.
Well, remember last year you didn't always know who the go-to guy was going to be.
Did you think they need that?
I think it helps to have a pecking order, but that's not how Houston does it, though.
No, yeah, it was mostly Sasser though.
It was Sasser, but you would have. Who wasn't the guy drafted, but Shed, oh. But also
Big. Yeah, he didn't like, well, there were take some over, games, though.
There were some games he took
was
over.
Not an alpha.
Not as much as I was expecting.
Yeah, right. Me either. Especially with that body.
The Cryer's type. New. I mean, there's going to be some, I would
well,
say.
Well, Cryer took the one that was an awful shot. It missed badly.
I would say by the end of this month, you need to have a pretty good feel of what your pecking order looks like. But I don't think there's going to be a true. Yeah, Sasser was your one.
Yeah.
But he had missed he had injury the previous year, so you had to come back and reestablish. I think that's always, some people think it's a concern. I also think that sometimes you can look at it as a benefit where you don't have to rely on just one guy. But I think when you start to need baskets in the half court late in games, that's, in college, if you look at the all-time just the best teams always have guys that they know who their dudes are. And Sasser was your dude last year. This year you got to figure out if Cryer. I think Cryer's going to be that guy, but we'll see.
Did you see the game winner by Momcilovic?
No, I didn't.
Tied at 53, he gets the ball towards, and they doubled him at the baseline, and he took a fadeaway Dirk and just nailed it. I mean, fadeaway on the baseline. Near the corner, not. I mean, it was a tough shot, and he nailed it, and he gave him a 55-53 lead, and then Cryer put up that. It wasn't a very good shot. So they lose for the first time. You know what though? But listen, I don't know. Would it be better to lose to a Kansas as your first loss, or would it be better to lose to a Texas as your first loss, or Iowa State, an unranked team, pretty good basketball team though.
Over under on. Season loss is 5.5.
I think it's a good number.
I'm looking at 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you ain't an American no more. The American ain't walking through that door, okay? You're in the Big 12 now. You got losses. You're going to have losses. Everybody's got losses. You know, they were the last undefeated team in the country.
My friend who's the Nebraska guy says, Nebraska, baby. Not sure if you saw the highlights, but Nebraska's basketball squad looks like your typical open gym squad. They look like they should be terrible. And they won.
I told you. We talked about it.
I heard you talk about the headbands.
I'm like, ooh.
The whole thing looks like an open run.
Oh, well.
Is that accurate?
I'm looking at highlights right now, and I'm like, yeah.
Do they ever yell, get the F off the floor?
I don't know.
At the end? Game. Do they ever yell, that's game.
Jackie, remember when he jumped out of the trunk and beat Zach Galifianakis with a tire iron?
He's not the guy from The Hangover.
He didn't do that.
Stop
it. Stop it. Don't.
Don't read everything.
Don't
that
read everything.
Your way.
Yeah, your filter is completely off today.
Jackie's the one that said it.
But how did your filter get turned off? It's like some.
I didn't say it.
Did
Jackie
somebody
did.
Hard reset the system on January 1st? Were the factory settings? Completely, did they delete factory settings? Does Wendy know you don't have factories? That you have factory settings on now?
Kind of looks like he jumped out of the trunk. I'm
don't
just saying.
Co-sign what he said.
But Jackie said
you
it.
You just did. You now your first offense was I didn't say it. Jackie said
I will
it. Now
say
it's
this.
Like, well, kind of looks like he did jump out
he
of the.
Doesn't
trunk.
Look like most college basketball players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, we don't see a lot of Asian basketball players, right. Period, but college basketball players. But it's not even that. I just noticed the headband. I was like, oh. This
is what, you don't see race. You see headbands.
This is what happened to Purdue. That guy with the headband took you out.
Yeah.
He don't have an arm sleeve, even Snacks. What's one of your boys would wear an arm sleeve in a game?
Snacks already has a headband and arm sleeve.
Yeah, he doesn't have an arm sleeve.
He's had both. Headband and arm sleeve.
All right. Does he have siding and windows?
He does now because he lives in my house, and I have windows, and I have siding, and I have my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding. They do. You know why? You know one of the reasons that today's a perfect day, right? You wake up and the weather tomorrow, it's going to be, I want to say, in the high 20s, I believe, is what the weather's going to be tomorrow morning. If your house is unreasonably cold, even though you have the heater on, that means you have a leaky window somewhere. And the leaky window means you need to get it replaced. You need to get your windows done. If it's a single pane, if it's a home with single pane windows, that's a nightmare. I mean, it's going to be really cold. You can really improve your energy efficiency with new windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. The windows are made here in the state of Texas, and they're made specifically with the idea of the excess rain that we have, humidity, these cold snaps, hail like we had the other day. They're built to stand up to this. A double pane, double strength that reduces the amount of noise from outside, keeps the dust out, and adds a level of safety. And here's the great part. They're giving big discounts for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. When you get your job done, or when you get the service quoted, just tell them that you're an ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listener, and they're going to give you a big discount. And that goes for complete siding jobs as well. So whether it's new windows or new siding, it's going to be my good friends over at AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.